You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of February 22nd, 2017. And this week, it's time to let off some steam.
Close up them pipes. Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alford.
My name is Scott Chester.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorous conversation about video games. One of those companies that is always on our mind.
In our minds.
In our minds. Whether or not we want them there or not, is Valve.
Yep.
The creators of such hit games as Portal, Portal 2, Half-Life.
Dota 2.
Dota 2, and that's about it. I guess Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead. Did they do anything else?
We are talking about Valve today for a couple of reasons. Two news stories recently came out. The first is Eric Wolpaw, a writer at Valve for many, many years, writing credits on Portal, Portal 2, all of the other titles that we basically listed, yeah. Has decided to leave the company, so he's gone and left. I believe he's now writing for Psychonauts 2.
Yeah. Yeah,
We don't know really what he's doing, but that's a pretty big news, mostly because he's one of the last like recognizable names that Valve, and definitely a blow to the idea that Valve is working on some sort of big, rich narrative game that a lot of people love them for when you look at something like Portal, Portal 2, or Half-Life, but it's not something that they've been doing of late. The other big news is that Valve has decided to kill off Steam Greenlight, which is their independent game launching, voting, crazy, weird, almost like a Kickstarter platform, and replacing it with a more open but also more expensive publishing tool. All of which sort of makes us question, what the hell is Valve doing? What is Valve doing these days?
What are you doing?
Because we're not entirely convinced they've been working on games.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. I think that Valve and Steam in particular have achieved the dream. And this has been true for a while now, right? Not the American dream, which is a home, 2.5 kids, and a garage.
Yeah, they're working on that 0.5 kid.
They are working. I mean, Gabe Newell has two kids at least.
Oh, does he?
I mean, he has at least two kids. I've seen his two of his kids.
Oh, okay.
So they have achieved that thing that Google has, right? Which is, they just exist. Like, we have the luxury of not even thinking about Steam as a platform anymore. If I ask you if you're going to buy a game on PC, I'm going to go ahead and presume you're buying it on Steam. Unless it's like a weird Gears of War on like Windows PC or something.
You could go to a GameStop and buy a PC game and open up the box and there would be a Steam key inside
of it. Yeah, absolutely right. When you get like pre-orders or when you get like DLC bonuses on PC, it's very likely to be like a Steam key thing that you're getting. So it has achieved that process, right? To the point now where they could start cutting their fat, right? They could lose people like Eric Wolpaw. They could lose people like Clint Hawking back in the day when he finally left Valve. And they could cut things that are as big as Steam Greenlight with actually no one really caring that much. Because at this point, they're no longer a video game company. I mean, that's been true for a while now. I think we've probably talked about it on the podcast before. But beyond just that, like, no one expects them to be. Like, there's not an expectation that they're anything more than a game publishing platform.
They have become, like you said, they're living the dream. They have become a service.
Yeah, they've become a service. Yeah.
They're not a product anymore.
And not just that, like a quintessential service. Like this isn't just like Lyft or Uber, right? Where like, oh, let me bust up my Valve app to whatever, right? Like, and not even that. Like, it doesn't even feel like they're trying to win in any significant way the other competitions, right? Like, the HTC Vive was a big conversation a while back when it came to VR, but it doesn't, I don't get that feeling that they're really, that Valve is really pushing it anymore, right?
Yeah.
Valve for a while had the Steam Box. Whatever happened to the Steam Box? Doesn't seem like something they're pushing especially hard. Same with the Steam controller, right?
Same with Steam OS, remember that? They did a Unix fork that was,
So I almost feels like they're not even, they don't, it almost feels like they don't want our attention. Now this is either because
They're hiding.
They're hiding. Now, again, as I theorized before we started recording, this could be because they're working on a secret mecha kaiju project underneath the city of Seattle itself, right? They have the money for it.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Like, legitimately, if they were to announce they had built a mech that was controllable, as you said, with the HTC Vive.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would be especially surprised.
I'd be like, well, okay, but when is Mecha 3 coming out?
Yeah. Or like, Gabe Newell has turned all of his hands into his knives, right? Like, okay, fine, whatever. Like, they have enough money to be working on a secret project.
Yeah.
Alternatively, they could just not be working on anything, right? But nobody knows, and nobody really cares anymore.
Yeah. It's funny because some of their games are still extremely popular, like
Dota 2.
I remember there was someone from Double Fine, Brad Muir. Mm-hmm. He was one of the people at Double Fine, and he went to go work at Valve. And so you have the people that you have the traditional game designers still at Valve, but you know they're just balancing Dota.
Yes.
I mean, like, that is their main game. And then there's also Counter-Strike. Like, they're still Counter-Strike CSGO. Go.
But how much content comes out for that on the reg, right?
I know there's a lot of, like, you know, skins, basically.
Sure,
like, do you want a leopard print gun? Because we gotcha.
But, I mean, you could run a slim ship and still satisfy that demand.
Yeah. I mean, I actually don't know how many people work there. Maybe I should do some quick research. Well,
that's the thing, is, like, they could fire... Because Valve is at the point now where if you could fire everybody, fire absolutely everyone, right? Except for the people who are maintaining your servers, engineers to handle any like significant bugs that pop up.
Yeah.
Fire all your marketing, fire all your media, you don't need them. Fire all of your comm dev, all of your writers, all of your programmers, like fire everybody. And Valve would still maintain a share of the marketplace as a publishing platform. And as a game service provider in the form of CSGO and Dota for many years to come without that much of a blip in terms of their revenue.
Yeah. I think what you pointed out as what else is Valve? Because we play a lot of games, we think of Valve as a group of people that make and or support games.
Right.
But there's probably a huge engineering component that is just there to maintain the store and maintain the infrastructure of running the store, like a bunch of site reliability engineers, a bunch of people that are that help with transaction stuff, people that do billing. Like, I mean, there's probably, I wonder if there are more.
Oh, I imagine the majority would be that, right?
The majority is the logistics.
Well, and especially if you think about all of the localization logistics that has to take place as well, right? So you're talking about staff for Brazil and Japan and China and Russia and East, you know what I mean? All of those regions that use Steam as a platform, localizing their condition, localizing it for support tickets, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Gosh, what was I going to say? I was going to say about something about CSGO. Do you know whatever... Oh, this is what I was going to say. Do you know whatever happened to that gambling scandal around CSGO? How did that resolve itself? Because there were some actual lawsuits around that.
I think Valve ended up trying to shut down some of those gambling sites.
Okay.
But I also know that Valve was sued in the state of Washington for not enforcing
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
But like, again, that is not surprising in the slightest, right? Like as a service that doesn't want a name for itself, of course they're not going to get involved. Why bother, right? Yeah. I mean, every dollar spent trying to make the marketplace better for you is just drawing attention, and it's essentially a waste of money once you've won.
Yeah.
Like you've already won. Why bother, right?
One, and it goes against it might not be their stated desire, but it's their desire that you can infer from their actions, which is they want to run as lean as possible and do the least work as possible. And that even goes back to people always complain about support actually on Steam. And I don't really know. I haven't had the misfortune of interacting with Steam support.
Like, but the Steam works so well though. Like what do you need support for? Because usually if it's a game issue, you just go to the publisher.
Well, I think that's the problem. Like I think they get a lot of the support issues from the games. I remember I was listening to the Giant Bomb podcast and their community/support guy was saying that people write into their support channel complaining about this game that doesn't work.
Into giant bomb support? Why would you do that?
Well, that's what he was saying. But it happens all the time. And it happens everywhere. Like, any big company in video games gets a lot of just misdirected support issue.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I can only imagine if your business is a store, when someone has a problem with the quote-unquote merchandise, you go back to the store rather than going to the manufacturer.
That's true.
And I mean, so I bet their support queue is also just gutted, or there's a glut of people complaining about, No Man's Sky sucks. And it's like, guys, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Or they would just link them to their support page that's like, oh, here's our refund policy, which is incredibly lenient.
And like, the refund policy is pretty new. That was within the last year or so they launched that. And I view that as a way of defraying support tickets.
Yeah.
Because if you are able to say that, okay, for whatever
reason, you can run even leaner.
Yeah. It's like, I don't care. Like, if you played this for less than X amount of hours, we'll just give you your money back. Stop submitting tickets.
See, if I were Valve, what I would be working on are just robots, like AI, essentially. Like, let chatbots handle the 90% of the support tickets, right? And even a lot of the, like, random errors that you have.
Like the portal personalities.
I mean, imagine, like, okay, you go to Steam HQ in Bellevue, Washington. Yeah. You open the doors, and it's just an empty hello? Like, your voice just echoes through the hall. Like, is anybody there? And, like, you just see Gabe Newell sitting in a chair with his back to you.
A wall of knives behind him.
Just a huge wall of knives. His hands have become knives.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things. And going back to, again, the Greenlight story of... So, Steam Greenlight.
Yes.
Admittedly, I kind of forgot that it existed.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's partially because Steam Greenlight received a lot of attention because there was always this controversy.
Yeah.
And I feel like less and less there were, like, people stopped. Well, one, there was a glut, right? Like, a huge number of indies were submitting on Greenlight.
Mm.
A lot of really shitty games were being published to Greenlight.
Yeah.
To a point where people were complaining about them. People were saying this should never have been greenlit in the first place.
Yeah.
And so I think there was an erosion of trust in that as a system.
Yeah.
And so once that was dealt that blow, there's not a huge reason to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because just because something's greenlit doesn't mean it's going to be any good.
And the rule was that you paid your $100 fee to get listed, and then people had to vote on you in order to greenlight it.
Right. And then once you're greenlit,
onto the store.
Exactly. Okay. Then you could be put onto the store and potentially as, like, early access and stuff.
Okay.
So this new method gets rid of the voting entirely, and you just pay a specific fee, which they've yet to determine. They said anywhere from likely more than $100, but up to potentially $5,000, and that they want a fee that is expensive enough to dissuade average Joe guy who's ripping shit off, who's just like some weird hacker in the Ukraine from putting his game up, and enough, though, where you're not going to dissuade, you know, poor indie devs from being able to publish their own game. The problem is even $100 is going to dissuade somebody, no matter what. Yeah. I don't know what the correct line is there.
Yeah.
But going back to, like, what Valve does and doesn't do, this seems like an even easier process than Greenlight. Like, once again, this is honing and shearing off capabilities solely to provide the bare minimum of service that's enough.
Yeah.
Like, once you pay a flat fee, your game is now online. It is essentially 100% automated.
Yeah.
There's no more concern about this didn't get greenlit or this bad game did get greenlit. It's 100% buyer beware, right? The hands of the consumer are now no longer affecting what game comes out, but is only influential in the sense that they choose what to buy and what not to buy.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever interact with the Greenlight stuff?
You know, I think I had a couple of people I knew post up games on Greenlight that wanted support, and so I went and was like,
voting
you essentially just say, yes, I would buy this game if it came out. It's not like a huge cost to interact with it.
It's not like Kickstarter in that there's some skin in the game monetarily, because you, in order to vote for something on Kickstarter, you have to vote with money.
Yeah.
And there's nothing here.
It's a weird concept, right? Because one of the reasons I like it in the first place was that you could get people who would not normally be able to afford a large fee to say, you know what, my game is interesting enough that I can get people to like it and get it put up on Steam Greenlight and be approved and go to sale and make money when I would not otherwise be able to afford it. And you did see some games come out that let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then conversely, there were those games where like indie devs who were very skilled put the games up, and then there was like witch hunts against them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, wasn't there a game a while back? It was like all the Gamer Gators came out against it or something.
It was probably one of the most high profile and well reviewed one, which is Depression Quest.
Yeah, Depression Quest, yeah. Right? Which had a lot of people using Steam Greenlight to like basically be hate mongers, yeah. And like there's comment sections of those things and stuff. So it also became this weird, ugly popularity contest.
Yeah.
So there's another part of me that's like, fuck it, good riddance, right? Like, why give people this opportunity to downvote? Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't really understand why there would ever be a downvoting campaign in the first place. Why not only have upvotes?
Yeah.
And if it achieves X number, then you're good to go.
Yeah. There's a few of them here. I was just taking a look at the page of games that went through Greenlight. Miasmata. I like that game quite a
bit. That's the horror game that was made by those two brothers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There's a few of those
here. Rogue Legacy? That's a great game. Yeah.
But then again, you know, the quality of these games that we're mentioning seems that if they were able to get on anyway, and if they were able to,
that's true,
you know, get the same amount. Like, I don't know if Steam Greenlight was the actual thing that made them popular, as opposed to their overall baseline of quality and the coverage that they would receive
from press and stuff.
Press and people like us and, you know, other people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I didn't even know Rogue Legacy was a Greenlight thing. Yeah, I learned about it from a press article.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, the other issue, right, is once Greenlight became so inundated that it was more trouble than it was worth, then what value is it really bringing?
Yeah.
Like, it's like visiting Reddit, which is already, like, depending on the community, a total shithole, right? Yeah. And then going to /new, where any post goes and no one's curated it, and it's just, like, a morass of, like, bad stuff, right? Or offensive material.
Mm-hmm.
Why bother? And then the things that are floating to the top are being voted to the top only by the people who have the constitution and the intestinal fortitude to be able to handle looking at that marketplace, at the Greenlight marketplace, and actually participating into diving in and looking at it and seeing what's good and what's not.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, realistically, it's like whoever has the biggest Twitter following is going to get their game Steam Greenlight.
Yeah, that's true. So Greenlight is ending, almost gone, if not in the process of being gone. How often do you use Valve's tools to find games?
That's a good question. I use their store homepage to see what new games are out.
Yeah, because we're looking at the homepage right now. We're just like checking it out.
So I do that. I do keep a wanted list sometimes. So if there's an indie game that
like on the wish list or whatever
that hasn't come out yet, I'll like, oh, I want that as a sort of reminder to me that like next winter sale, if it's on sale, I'll pick it up, right? But I don't usually browse by, for example, the filters or the type of like game genres, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I already play too many games to live a functioning life. So like having that, making it easier doesn't really help.
Yeah.
And there's so many indie games I have already that I haven't played because I'm just lazy and end up playing Overwatch or something. So, you know, I don't need its help.
Yeah.
But again, like the tools are there, so I could see myself using it.
In an article that I was reading in The Guardian, Valve has said that the recommendation system has actually worked pretty well for them. And so I'm just wondering, like, from the two of us, like, I don't use it all. My recommendation system is still very ad hoc.
Yeah.
It's not inside of Steam's tools. It's on Twitter or in a podcast or talking to other friends. But, you know, what they're doing here is somewhat interesting because they're trying to take a look at what your friends are actually playing and what they're recommending. And I'm seeing things in the recommended that are, oh, it's recommended because you've played other games that are tagged with like single player exploration or first person, or it's recommended by somebody on your friends list.
Yeah.
And you know, again, that is getting out of the business of centralized curation.
Yeah.
And decentralizing it.
I mean, the more they can automate it, the better, right?
Yeah.
It's just interesting, right? Because for a while, right, like Steam Greenlight also came out around the time when Steam announced that they were doing like wikis, like mm-hmm. games started having their own game pages. Mm-hmm. There was like a new Steam like profile section. I remember for a while people were doing a lot of like sharing their screenshots of particular games yeah. and participating in like annotations of those screenshots mm-hmm. and stuff, right? They added this like social community driven effort that felt to me like a sort of answer to providing a service without them having to actually invest a whole lot into it, because why bother going through all of this creation process and curating things if your friends can curate that content yeah. for you, right? Yeah. Especially in regards to like community activity. Mm. They got rid of that, or maybe it's still there, but it doesn't seem like a major focus per yeah. se.
It's become part of the, it's become just part of the service. Like you can still yeah. look at, oh, Community Hub or
but it's not like Community Hub has conquested against some of the other ways that people express their community yeah. fandom online.
That's
right?
true. That's
Steam
true.
Community Hub has not overcome Reddit yeah. or Wikia yeah. or any of the wiki platforms, right? Yeah. So it's not like that has really dominated that conversation in any significant way. Some mm. people use it, and some certainly I imagine some games use it quite a bit, but mm-hmm. it's not, it hasn't taken over, mm-hmm. right? And it feels like generally the internet is moving away from that, right? Mm-hmm. Like what Bleacher Report recently shuttered their community-driven like writer side, right? Yeah. So it feels like we're getting more and more away from the idea that, oh, communities can handle everything themselves. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Steam is saying, you know what? We're going to get rid of Greenlight because we now know that, and this is probably true across the board, communities can't really handle everything by themselves. It's not the ideal
yeah.
User experience. But at the same time, we're not about to get into the market of like curating everything for everybody, so instead let's just open our doors and we'll have an automatic AI system give you recommendations based upon what you've already liked.
Yeah.
Once you have that in place, it's smooth sailing, right? Like you don't have to worry about anything yeah. else. The devs will tag their own games,
yeah,
right? Fans will like agree or disagree on whether or not a certain genre is it, and then you'll be fed that recommendation based upon what you've played and what your friends are playing.
Yeah.
And then boom, you're done. Fire everybody.
Fire everyone, and it will be... And
bring me the biggest knife chair you yeah. can have.
Oh, he's sitting on the game.
He's sitting on the Iron Throne. Yeah, but the Iron Throne has, like, the... what I don't know what you call it, but the part that raises up so you can lean back.
Oh,
Because Gabriel
right.
needs, like, a...
You it's know. Like an Iron Throne Lazy Boy.
It's version. An Iron Throne yeah. Lazy Boy
it's
version.
It's a recliner.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I was clicking through some of the discussions and the communities on games. I went to the Bastion one, and... it's just kind of astounding that there are, people are starting discussion threads 10 minutes ago as of the recording of this.
Yeah.
And so I guess...
oh, that guy wants a refund. Don't get a ring fund.
On Bastion. Come on, what are you doing? That's one of the best games ever. What are you thinking about? There's like screenshots. People are yeah. doing artwork, I guess.
Broadcasts, too. I forgot that they were like a streaming platform for... I guess they are a streaming platform, but...
I think to me that is the... that is the most confusing thing about Steam, is that they approach everything in such a seemingly lackadaisical manner.
Yeah.
Like the streaming, you know, the screen sharing thing or the streaming thing that they started, this community-based voting or curating of games, even VR, they're kind of weirdly lackadaisical about.
Yeah.
And the Steam boxes, Steam OS, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And they're just... it's hard for me to always have complete confidence in them because you just don't know what they're going to drop.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be like, we're not going to do this.
The long-term support.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point. But uh-huh. importantly, it's not shuttered. Like, yeah. This never feels like...
it just keeps going.
It doesn't feel like Valve has made a decision to go down this one route, and then the CEO's like, oh, you know what? This isn't going to work. We're going to do a complete pivot,
yeah.
and we're going to no longer support that platform at all.
Yeah. Right?
Although, realistically, I think that's essentially what they've done,
yeah,
because they're not adding any updates to these tools.
Yeah.
What, to me, it feels more like is like if a diner was really well known for their waffles, it doesn't mean that they don't also have pancakes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's a certain expectation that it's not just a waffle shop.
Right.
This is an all-you-can-get diner.
Yeah.
And on the off chance that someone comes in and has a craving for fucking Eggs Benedict and, like, a cappuccino, we can provide that as well.
Yeah.
But people come for waffles.
It's right? almost like they expect... I mean, in the...
what is this? Is that somebody... sorry, there's a video of someone covering a song in Bastion.
Yeah.
That's cute.
I mean, but that's the... all the stuff is underneath the covers. Like, I almost never go into this stuff. And yet, they have to maintain it somehow, I guess. Like, these are just videos about Bastion.
I mean, what is the cost of maintaining it, though? I mean, you can literally, you know, hire people in a different country to monitor pornography.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, I mean, it's weird that it's... With the waffle analogy might be apt because it just has to have this. Like, you can't have a... You can't have a store without a discussions forum because it's just expected.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I think it's interesting that Steam, it's not like a lot of other companies, right? Where, like, let's take Instagram, for example, right? Like, Instagram released live, mobile live stuff, right? Or Instagram stories.
Yeah.
They were very much saying, hey, Snapchat, guess what? Yeah. We can do what you do better. We're conquesting you. Like, it felt like a real conquest.
Yeah.
While Steam has released all of these things that other companies do, right? Yeah. Like, you can broadcast on Steam, but you can broadcast on Facebook. You can broadcast on Twitch. They didn't invest enough money to win, but I think that they dominate the PC market so thoroughly that they don't need to.
Yeah.
Like, they made some space so that people stay on the platform a little bit longer and are more likely to buy another game, and that's enough.
Yeah. And again, if you're making your money based off the cut you get when I say purchase on Steam, who cares if I use the discussions or not? As long as it's not detracting from their profits, they probably don't care. And as long as it's a net neutral and maybe latent positive for keeping people inside of Steam, I guess maybe that's okay.
I mean, the one thing that I'm surprised about, right? And I'm not surprised by Eric Wolpaw, like, leaving the company at all.
Because they don't seem to be making video games anymore.
Yeah, because they don't seem to be making video games, right? But that actually is what surprises me. Because Dota 2 is getting pretty old at this point, right? CSGO is getting pretty old at this point. The amount of people who are playing CSGO and Dota 2 still very, very high. But they are dropping, right? As more and more games have very long life cycles. Like we were talking about before we started recording. Like, you get games like, you know, Skyrim and GTA Online have still a huge number of people playing those games on the reg, right?
Yeah.
And if you want to keep up, like, I'm shocked that they're not working on yet another game to create hats, right? Like, Overwatch came in and ate their TF2 lunch. Yeah. That will continue to happen.
Yeah.
So if I think where they make a lot of money is certainly on Steam sales, but they make a much larger cut off of all the crazy cards and, like, CSGO hats and stuff.
Because that just goes straight to them.
Yeah, they're just not
sharing
to them.
It with any publishers.
Exactly. There's no cut that they have to worry about, right? Yeah. Like, Dota 2 makes a lot of money because there's so many opportunities for microtransactions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked they're not working on another game that will house that type of content. Yeah. Or at least haven't announced it yet.
Yeah. I wonder what genre that would go into.
I mean, I'm shocked they haven't... Yeah, I don't know, man.
Because they have a MOBA.
Strategy, maybe? Mm. I don't know. Like, some sort of XCOM thing?
You know what they... you know what might be...
Or Team Fortress 3.
Like, yeah.
That would do it.
Oh, my gosh. If they had Team Fortress 3, maybe they would just turn it into, like... Because with Dota recently underwent an update that many were calling... If Valve was in the market of doing this, we could legitimately call this Dota 3.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like they're really in the market of, like... They're in the market of making something like League of Legends, where you're never going to have a League of Legends 2. You're just going to have League of Legends Season 2017.
Yeah.
You know, looking at what else is out there, does Steam or does Valve have a big card game?
You're right.
Oh my god, remember cards? Remember fucking trading cards on Steam?
I mean, they still have them.
Yeah, but I mean, no one cares about them anymore. Like,
I think some people do because I sell my shit and people buy it. They bought, like, some dumb card from Doom for like 9 cents.
Oh my god. And remember, you could, like...
I sold a gold card, by the way, from... God, what game was it? It was the, like, the cute indie side-scrolling game. Man. I don't know
if you played that one.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, my bad. I sold it, like, a rare version for, like, 50 cents. I was like, holy shit, this is the first time it's been worth it to actually take...
A double-digit value
of card. I was like, this is amazing.
Remember, you could take multiple cards and merge them into a foil card or whatever? Yeah. Like, oh, my God. God. So if they had a collectible card game, maybe that would be... Because that's something where you can continue to sell.
Yeah.
You can do tournaments.
The thing is, at this point, it's weird, but... It feels like Valve can't make any games anymore because they're the ones that are behind.
Yeah.
Like, Overwatch is the winner of that class-based shooter now.
Yeah.
League of Legends sort of owns the MOBA space, certainly globally.
Yeah.
And then even in the card space, you have Hearthstone. Yeah. You've got Gwent just came out, right? Like, you have these other card games that are actually doing pretty decent.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what you do. And on top of that, like, what is the major Steam IP that they could drop that they could tie it to, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hearthstone is connected to these brands that are very recognizable.
What I think they always should have done, I guess maybe this would be a licensing nightmare, but they should have turned a card game into their cards.
What do you mean?
So the cards that they release have the extra collectible component of having other game faces on them.
Mm.
So it's kind of like a normal deck of cards, like, you know,
so 50, it's like a,
52
it's,
cards.
So you play Steam cards with whatever thing, but then you have like
Steam
Jack creates, from Jack and Dexter on there.
Steam creates the mechanics, and the visuals are made by the various publishers that are on Steam.
But we established this already. They've already fired their entire licensing division.
I mean, that would be the only thing where it's...
Gabe Newell was like letting Valve lay fallow for a couple seasons just to harvest.
To harvest
again. A more nutrient development team in a few years.
But that's what I mean. Like, maybe part of... if you can get a certain number of players, or if you want to reinstitute a voting system that allows you to get a card in Steam cards.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, when someone busts out their awesome deck, someone makes a deck of, you know, all indie darlings.
Yeah. And ooh, the indie darling deck.
You're playing the same game, but you're fighting against someone that is using the TF2 Heavy for the King, and you're using the Bastion.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. I would want, like, the meta suddenly becomes in the favor of, like, dating sims. You have, like, had a full boyfriend being,
pigeons.
Tapping your shit. Yeah, that would be great. So, before we wrap up, let's get, like, the Vegas odds of... Okay, let's presume Valve does come out with another game.
Okay.
What is the genre,
and
when are we going to get it? Like, what is the year Valve announces their next title?
Announces it.
Because I would go so far as saying, I don't think we're going to see a Valve game announced until at the... I would say 2020.
2020
is the earliest.
What year is it? It's 2017.
2017. So at least three more years.
Yeah.
And I like the card idea. So I'm just going to say the genre is cards. Yeah.
I think it will be
VR,
VR game. And I think they'll probably announce it in 2018.
2018. That's next year.
Yeah. Announce it.
Of course. It'll come out in 2067.
Yeah. But I feel like...
Or it might never come out.
They might decide, oh no, we don't care about this anymore. I mean, if they make anything, they have a vested... Currently, they have an interest in VR. They need to prove why they even have an interest in it. Or maybe they don't.
They don't give a shit anymore.
But I feel like if they are going to make a game that isn't just hats, they would make a VR game.
Yeah.
Or maybe a fucking VR card game. We just invented it.
That's the thing, though, right? It's like, in VR, how do you make hats in VR? Like, I just don't believe... Maybe that's why they're taking so long.
No, you like put the hat on your VR.
But then you can't see your own hat. That's the point. You don't sell like
picture in picture.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
You just want to be able to see yourself
wearing a hat.
What they really need to do, what they're really working on, is they're working on technology to make other avatars in the VR world look jealous of the hat that you're wearing, and because they can't release it until other people appear to be salty that you have a better hat.
Yeah, I think that's probably that is probably the best suggestion.
God. Oh man. All right. Tell us what you think the Monolith is working on. Experiencepoints at gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our... We're not Valve, but it's our own site. So come on down.
Yeah.
If you want to help us grow, go give us a rating on iTunes and Stitcher and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool.
You know what? They don't have podcasts on Steam.
Oh, shit.
Just saying.
Oh, cut this out of the podcast right now. We need to start pitching them on this. Okay. All right, everyone. Until next week. Thank you for listening.